You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Again, I'm going to start with a joke. I don't like air quotes, but I don't like jokes either. But here we go. On a cold winter's day, the congregation gathered in a river, for the baptism of a young man. The preacher began by reminding those gathered that with baptism comes adoption as God's child, the washing away of sin, and the change that brings to everyday life. After the man had been standing in the water for a while, the preacher had completely drenched him with the icy river water. He noticed the man turning blue, so he said to him, "Are you feeling cold?" "Nah," the man bravely replied, not wanting to be disrespectful or spoil the moment. Then a loud voice was heard from the congregation. "Dunk him again, preacher, he's still lying." Thank you. All right, right? We know that a voice was heard that day that Jesus was baptized, but it didn't come from the crowd or the congregation that was gathered at the River Jordan. It was the voice of God that came from the heavens, saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The gospel writers leave no doubt that Jesus was baptized by a man known as John the Baptist in the Jordan River. This happened as Jesus was about to begin his ministry of teaching about the kingdom of God and doing acts of love and mercy, including dying and suffering on the cross. Today forces upon us this idea of baptism and the baptism of Jesus and gives us an opportunity to center our attention on the meaning of baptism. But you know me, I always take this different road. And I feel it's a shame that the sacrament of baptism, like Holy Communion, has created a division among Christians over the centuries. And what constitutes a valid baptism has been a point of contention for centuries. Fortunately, a number of churches, including the Episcopal Church, have come to an agreement and have agreed on what baptism is, but there are still disagreements among certain sections of the Christian community. The disagreement sometimes focuses on whether the Bible allows children to be baptized. The argument might go something like this, like the play the parts. Show me solid evidence in the New Testament that the early Christians baptized infants. When whole households of adults were baptized, children are not specifically mentioned. The other side of the argument might sound like this. Show me undeniable proof that the people of the New Testament did not baptize infants. Are there any passages that specifically forbid the baptism of infants or state that children must reach a certain age in order to be baptized? So no win, no win, right? Last week I talked about getting caught up in the details. These are some of those details. We can argue till the cows come home, but it won't bring us any closer to an understanding of who is or who is not allowed to be baptized according to the New Testament. Another disagreement focuses on the way the water is applied. Think about that for a minute. Immersion or sprinkling? Big discussion. Big splits in the church over that centuries ago. Some argue that the New Testament word for baptism means to immerse, and that is undeniable. In fact, there's great symbolism in baptism by immersion. I was immersed in my baptism. I was an adult. It was quite a feeling to be fully plunged into that water and brought out anew. It visibly demonstrates the drowning of sin as the person is immersed under the water, and the rising of the new person, this new creation, the new child of God, as the person emerges from the water. There's actually a resurgence in immersion in churches, including the Episcopal Church. If we had room, I might think about that here. But it's okay. The other hand is, you know, there are others that say quite correctly that baptism also means to wash. Washing our hands, washing the dishes, washing our bodies, washing the baby. It's this ritual of washing of hands that you see me do before we take communion. That's performing a sacred rite where only a very small amount of water is used. And there's plenty of evidence in ancient writings that support this washing clean aspect of baptism. When a baby has water poured over him or her in baptism, this is a visible sign of the power of God's grace. The baby has nothing to offer God, no self-righteousness, no vows of commitment or promises of loyalty. Those are made by the sponsors who stand up and present the baby. And yet God is there for that child, giving his grace and bountiful love. You can see whether we talk about the age a person can be baptized, or whether baptism is immersion or sprinkling, pouring or washing. We can get uptight. We can say that one form is more valid than another and get lost in the details. It's not about the details. We can argue about words and their meaning, but in actual fact, not get any closer to the understanding of what baptism really is. Today we heard about the baptism of Jesus. As he came out of the water and was praying, the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove, and a voice spoke from heaven. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus is about to begin his mission, beginning with his temptation by Satan in the wilderness. The next 3 years will be really tough for him, as we know. They will end with terrible pain and suffering and a cruel death. And these words from the Father at Jesus' baptism are something similar to the words God spoke to his people through Isaiah that we heard this morning. "You are my own dear son. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Do not fear, for I am with you." In our baptism, God washed us clean, connecting us to all that Jesus did on the cross for us, dying for us, taking on himself all of our sin, enduring the pain and suffering that should have been ours, and then rising to life, ensuring that we too shall rise to a new life of forgiveness and wholeness. In the water of baptism, God is our Savior, and he makes a covenant with us. He says to each of us, "You have nothing to fear. I will save you. I know each of you by name. You are mine. You are precious to me because I love you. I created you and saved you. Do not be afraid." What a wonderful message this is for a world filled with so much despair and hopelessness. In these trying times, we're filled with so much uncertainty. It seems to be getting worse by the day. And how reassuring is it to know that strength and comfort is available from God, who loves us so dearly. Isaiah's message of hope from so long ago is still valid today. I know I've said that time and time again as we've shared the scriptures over these months, but it's true. Still valid today. Go into the Word and find the comfort and hope. We're only in the second week of 2019, but these readings provide us with a good start to the year. The words from today remind us that whatever the future may hold for any of us this year, we have the promise that our Savior made to us at our baptism, the same firm promise spoken to God's people through Isaiah. They are words that encourage and give us confidence for the future. Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan is a precedent for Christian baptism. Today is one of the four baptismal feast days, you may not know, which we normally baptize new people into the Christian community. Most churches do them all year long, but several churches adhere to the 4 days of the year. We don't have any candidates for this morning, but in a minute, you know, we're going to renew our baptismal vows, and that's an opportunity for those of us who are baptized to reflect on what that means. For those here this morning who are not baptized, it's an opportunity to reflect on what it might mean for you, an opportunity to consider taking that step for yourself. Whether we chose to be baptized ourselves or not, whether it's something that our parents chose for us as infants, whether you decided as an adult to do that for yourself, it doesn't matter one bit how that decision got made. It doesn't matter how we get there. It just matters that we get there. It's through our baptism that we all become partakers of Christ's priesthood. And it's through our baptism that we are marked for a purpose and made God's own. As I said, in a minute we'll renew our baptismal vows. We will stand and remind ourselves what those promises are. And as we do, Just imagine the kind of world we'd be creating if we would truly live in to these promises, with the kind of intention, and joy, and freedom, and commitment that Jesus had in his own baptism. It's that intention and joy and freedom and commitment to which all of us are called through our baptism. Let us all imagine the voice from heaven saying to each one of us, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Amen.